Hello, everyone. It's episode 78 of the General Damage Podcast.
What's up, guys?
How's it going?
It's going good.
It's going great, right, ma'am.
It's a week.
Yeah.
My name's Nick.
I'm Will.
And I'm Shane. Oh, man, it is a... It's not even Sunday yet.
Oh, dude, it is Thursday, and I just feel wiped. I know
why I feel tired.
Mm.
It's a combination of, like, because I recently started going to a gym.
Yeah.
And then it's also a combination of, like, work. It's not like, oh my god, we're panicking at work. It's more like, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
What do I do? Everything's done. And it's like, I'm just afraid I'm going to get cut. And I'm like, oh, great, there goes my hours.
Gotcha.
And that's frustrating because you're, like, stressful and you're kind of, like, wandering around the office going, can I do something? I'll wipe the table that doesn't need to be wiped. It's like, I need shit to do and everything's getting done, not to mention training the new guy. So it's like, it's odd.
Yeah.
Hopefully something will pick up because I don't want to start cold calling people.
I feel you, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I know how you feel. Right now, it has been raining for the past few days.
Nice.
It hasn't been terrible, but it's in between like a tropical storm and a hurricane.
Yeah. What is it? What's her name? Or what's the hurricane's name? Maria.
Yeah.
So are you getting like a tail of that?
It completely like missed us, to be honest.
Oh,
like we got like the fringe of it, if anything.
What I was thinking.
But my boss couldn't risk opening up the business in case it really turned into a hurricane. So the past 2 days he has had to be closed and just like, well, those are hours gone.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
know.
Well, I can't blame him. Like the fucking parking lot in front of the ice cream shop.
Mm-hmm.
We'll turn it to a lake, give it enough water.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Is it like dipped in or something? Or
oh yeah, it is. Oh, it's super dipped in. It's on like the ice cream shop and all the little shops are at the base of an incline.
Mm-hmm.
Parking lot was built into a dip.
Jesus.
Right. I have a question for you guys.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Will, you and I went to school in California, so our schools were for what are you want to call it, an open concept? I don't know.
Mm.
It wasn't a self-contained building like they were, like they are on the East Coast.
Mm.
And that's mostly due to earthquakes.
Yeah.
I don't know if Shane had this, maybe. I mean, the school has to have like a blacktop or a lawn or whatever. But how often did you have a lake at Prospect?
You'd be surprised. Not that often.
Really? Okay. I don't know if you ever went to Del Mar.
I've been on campus like one or two times.
Okay. If you probably don't remember. So we had the quad, big quad,
yeah.
And it had the stage with these really weird shallow steps.
Mm-hmm.
And everything. So from the stage that looked directly at the snack shack, it was like a triangle. It was like sectioned off in an X, so there was a triangle. That would get flooded. And we're talking like half a foot, maybe more.
Uh-huh.
Like it constantly, that would get flooded. And so would a few areas in the hallway. It would just get flooded. I remember, I think it was my junior year, some people went to PetSmart or something like that and got goldfish and put it in the in the big lake by the, or pond, whatever you want to call it, that appeared next to the stage. And it took, I mean, it was big. It took up like a whole triangle.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I was wondering if Prospect ever had that problem, but apparently not.
So, like, we had some flooding, but it was never like it takes up a third of the quad or
a
section
never,
of the quad.
It never reroutes traffic, essentially.
No. A lot of because the quad, the quad, it kind of dipped in. It was very central. All the halls were like higher than the center of the quad itself. Nice. So you could always just go around under an awning and kind of avoid that. You never really crept up and onto the walkways. I know sometimes in the parking lots it could get a little flooded, especially since Prospect sits next to that kind of river that runs by it. There's kind of like some dips over there that would collect more water and kind of run off into it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, nothing where it's like, oh shit, we have like a pond or a lake there.
Every school I went to until I graduated and got out of the Campbell District, there was always some kind of lake, some huge puddle that accumulated somewhere or a few places.
Yeah, Baker, when I went there, had it. Castro, for sure, had at least. Because there's an area where, like, in the quad, it sloped down. And then when you got to, like, the basketball courts, it would slope up. So, like, water would kind of pool there a bit in, like, the flats.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it
was weird that it was constant. That was a constant thing. There was always a lake at every school. Did you, okay, again, Shane, did you ever have that? Because I know your school had to be enclosed.
More or less. Yeah, but like both schools, well, actually all three schools when you think about it, they're built up on higher ground. So they don't build lakes in the parking lots and shit.
Okay.
They also have pretty good drainage systems, so.
Yeah, I mean, this is like the quads or the blacktop.
Oh, our schools are just, like, one big building.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And, like, we don't really have... Like, the quads aren't, like, really open quads. Not very. Yeah, I can't really think of a time where anything really flooded, except for maybe the field between the middle school and the kindergarten. But even then, that was just, like... It was, like, a baseball field built in a pit, almost. Right. But even then, that never got too bad.
Yeah. Rain was always... I like rain. I like watching it. I like being in it. But it was odd. It basically showed how shitty the schools was. Because it was just, oh, this place is leaking, this place is flooding, this place is leaking. Can't walk down here because there's no access because of how bad it's flooding. Yeah, it was primo. Stupid system. Excuse me. That's just what I brought up. It's actually been cold here, thankfully.
Oh man, I like put on sweatpants for like the first time, and like because it was cold, I'm like, oh, sweet, you know, having to find like my comforter. I'm like, ah, I can't wait to use this. I'm so excited.
I can't wait to wear pants,
dude. Seriously.
Because it's like, oh, okay, like, you know, hey, this would be nice pants, you know, I can put on my pants and go outside in the morning, but then, like, you know, in the afternoon, it's, nah.
Yeah, it heats up a bit more. It's still, like, it gets to about, like, low to mid-70s.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I am thankful we're starting to get into colder weather. It's about time.
Yeah, it is. It's just... Okay, speaking of colder weather, and we have to get on topics because we missed topics last week.
Yeah.
Because of technical bullshit. Now, I have a pet peeve with something. Okay. I just want to air my grievance. I hate you both. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, I accept that.
I mean, that's not much of a grievance, but continue.
Oh, that's what he meant when he called me a fucktard. Anyway, I'm kidding. Okay, you guys know I drink Starbucks. I call it my poison. Mm-hmm. I probably shouldn't be drinking it as much as I should, but I do. Anyway, like it's the worst thing I could put in my body. I think heroin's up there with being a bit worse.
Ooh, oh, definitely. Easily.
Yeah. So, anyway. Now, I, you know, drinks change. It's cold, so I drink the ice drinks. I'm looking forward to getting the warmer drinks when, you know, just a change. You know, simple little change.
Yeah.
Now, I like walking into Starbucks because I like the smell of coffee. It's a nice smell. Mm-hmm. And I like it when they get into the season of things, whether it be the red cups at Christmas or when I see advertisements for the pumpkin spice lattes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do not mind that Starbucks has pumpkin spice lattes.
Yeah.
They don't.
I mean, pumpkin's the best flavor on the planet, so.
Yeah, pumpkin's fine. I don't do pumpkin pie, but my sister makes these chocolate chip cookies that are pumpkin flavored. They're awesome.
They're amazing.
Yeah, you've had them. You both had them, I think. They're great cookies. So, I don't mind it. There's two things I mind. It's happened in the last year. Well, one of them has. I don't get the constant ripping on mostly white girls about pumpkin spice and how they're so, like, golly for it. Like, I saw this one stupid thing, How to Catch a White Girl, which was a box with a stick on it and a string attached to the stick, and a pumpkin spice latte was placed in the middle of it like bait. And it's like, fucking really? What is this stupid trend of, like, you know, oh, pumpkin spice latte is white girl's favorite, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, let's make fun of it.
Where did it get the association that yeah. all white girls like pumpkin spice latte?
Or any women. It's just like this, yeah. It's this thing that, like, some people latch onto and just want to hate. But I'm starting to hate pumpkin spice because now it's everywhere.
It is getting everywhere, and it's getting a little ridiculous.
It's fucking everywhere. There's cookies, which I get. Okay, fine, cookie. Then I was at the grocery store the other day. I think I saw several cereals that had a pumpkin spice thing. Like, flavor, or whatever you want to call it. It's like...
Variant.
A variant, yeah. Like, why? I get it's a nice addition in a coffee drink, and it symbolizes... To most people who don't know what the autumn equinox is, that, you know, the fall is here. Okay, I get it. It doesn't need to be in cereal or granola bars or health bars or fucking M&Ms.
I mean,
it's aggravating.
I know it's a little weird.
Both of these things are very aggravating to me. The constant, not rage, but making fun of women who like it, or anyone that likes pumpkin flavored anything, and the fact that it's everywhere.
I mean, so at my ice cream shop, we have pumpkin flavored ice cream.
Oh, dude, pumpkin ice
and
cream is so good.
We also have pumpkin Oreo ice cream.
Sounds less good.
Maybe? Ben and Jerry's comes out with a pumpkin flavored ice cream around this time. And I think, well, back in the day, the diner that we went to, they used to have a pumpkin pie milkshake.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if they do it anymore.
Well, so, I mean, I can understand why some people don't like pumpkin flavor in general. It's a very earthy flavor. It's got a unique texture to it, right?
Right.
And it's fine. I mean, Ashley makes fun of me for liking pumpkin-flavored shit, because she doesn't like pumpkin, and that's fine. It's like, I don't really care, more for me. Fuck it.
Yeah. Right.
But...
Y'all ate her pie. Who gives a shit?
I know. Like, out here, there's not necessarily that whole stigma of, oh, all these people like pumpkin-flavored stuff, but there is definitely a trend. Like, there is a pattern. Especially out here, Ashley can tell you, she makes fun of me all the time. She's like, East Coast people are so predictable between wearing, you know, the pastels and the khaki shorts and the sweaters around the shoulders for no reason.
I thought that was a rich white guy thing.
It is, but there's a lot of rich white people on Cape Cod. Okay. You know, she makes fun of me for that. But there's also another thing, too, that, like, you'll see the trend of, like, girls wearing leggings with Uggs and long sleeve shirts with puffy vests.
I have a hatred towards leggings and yoga pants, but we won't get into that.
I mean, that also, but, you see it out here as well.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Too. It's like, the way I see it is, like, it's a trend. And ironically, I see that as more of a symbol for its fall than the pumpkin flavored stuff, because it's people. And, you know, like, when I was in high school, that was like, almost every girl dressed like that.
Right.
Like, That, or they wore, like, ripped up jeans and, like, these weird parka hoodies that were, like, really fuzzy around the hoodie, but no, like, didn't have fur anywhere else on it. And I was just like, okay.
Yeah, I don't remember with the girls in my high school. I think it was mostly jeans.
I mean, yeah. It's fall, right? Yeah. And ultimately, people, the thing that gets me is it's like, people are going to make fun of people for liking pumpkin-flavored stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, well, you know, asshole, you and your family may or may not like Halloween, and one of you is going to probably carve up a pumpkin.
Yeah.
And you're going to end up smelling like it. So who gives a shit? And well, at Thanksgiving, every Thanksgiving I've been to, there's at least one pumpkin pie.
There's always pumpkin pie at Thanksgiving. Yeah.
It's
if
there.
You don't, even if you don't eat it, it's just there. You know, people eat it. I don't eat it. I don't eat it after I had a really bad experience with one.
Mm-hmm. You know, pumpkin doesn't get much, too. Here's the thing, ready? You have to plant pumpkin in midsummer. It doesn't bloom. The flower doesn't bloom till, like, late summer. And the fucking plant doesn't finish growing till mid-fall, right?
Yes.
This is the only time this plant is even fucking useful. Leave it alone.
Yeah, it's a hurry up and wait. And there's only a very finite time when you can harvest.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know how people get those gigantic pumpkins that are like the size of a fucking couch.
Practice.
But, yeah, I guess. Yeah. Practice, or they're injecting something into the root.
Oh, I knew a guy who grew a pumpkin that was like 500 pounds.
Jesus Christ.
Dude, he was like, he was a barber and he was super pumped about it. And I was like, neat.
I would be too.
How much pie did you get out of that? That's my question.
Well, would it make good pie, you know?
Yeah.
That's always the trick. Will, you know, with something like that, will make good pie.
Well, it's like I've heard that, like, if you leave certain vegetables or fruit or whatever the hell you want to call a pumpkin.
It's a fruit.
I'd say it's a fruit. Seeds are inside it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you leave corn on a stalk too long, it gets really starchy.
Yeah.
You know, and if you leave other vegetables or fruit on, you know, in their, I don't know what you want to call it. If you don't harvest when you should harvest, something bad can happen texture-wise or flavor-wise, or it won't produce the way you think it produces. So it's like, oh yes, you have a 500-pound pumpkin, but that's all you have. You just have a 500-pound pumpkin, you got an award for it, now it's just going to sit there and rot because the seeds or the guts or the meat is just tough or something. I don't know.
You know, this is funny. This is a general damage to the Farmer's Almanac. Farmer's Almanac.
Farmer's Almanac. Shane, it's okay.
Not the almanac.
I talk like I got the chew, you know. We talk about the rainy season and how to grow your plants.
All right, calm down, Jebediah. All
right. Jesus. Hey, motherfucker, you live where the supposed everyone learns that the colonials landed, and I'm sure, you know, they were farmers.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's actually, surprisingly, there's a lot of farmland on Cape Cod.
I am not surprised at that.
Yeah. I'm not either.
It's surprising only because, like, a lot of it should be vineyards by now, but there's some legitimate farms.
Oh my god, don't talk to me about vineyards. That game I've been playing that I mentioned last week, there was one side quest which said, build 5 vineyards. I don't want to build 5. They're $700.
Oh my god.
And I didn't make enough. I barely made it to finishing that quest. It drove me nuts because it's $700 fucking dollars.
Damn.
Jesus.
And like times 5. And I maybe averaged like 200 at the time. So I constantly had to sell shit to make up ends meet to get the 5 fucking vineyards. I kind of hate and like that game now.
Yeah.
Nice. I mean, if you know, you have to, good quality of a video game is, do you like it so much that you kind of hate it? Or do you hate it so much that you end up liking it?
That's one aspect of liking a video game. I think another aspect of liking a video game is, like, you wake up and go, what if I did this? And I went over here and did that. That's also the other thing. That's another sign. So you wake up thinking about it.
Yeah.
Or, like, you blink and 5 hours went by and you went, oh, shit.
God, yep.
My least favorite sign I like something too much.
Yeah, exactly. Same. It's like, why is it 4 in the morning?
Yeah. Oh, dude, I can't even count the times where I'm like, all right, I've started playing at about, you know, 7 or 8, and it's 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
I have a problem. I need to not play anymore.
Yeah. Oh, that's like, ooh, I think the last game that did that for me was probably Far Cry 3. Yeah, I think it was Far Cry 3. Because I like shooters, but it gets to a point where it's like, all right, 2 hours, 3 hours... I need to put the controller down because I'm just getting pissed off.
Dude, you know, talking about shooters with Destiny, all I have to do is get on. If I'm just like, there's nothing to do in the game right now, I'll just play, do strikes and farm up stuff. Like, you know, each strike takes about half an hour, and then you just kind of lose track because it's all a quest and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a big epic quest with a big epic boss fight, and so you, like, I'll just lose track of time here and there and be like, oh man, how many strikes did I do? Oh shit, what time is it? Oh fucking shit, I need to stop playing for a while.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I don't like that. I think another game that kind of made me do that was like forget about time was Tomb Raider, the Crystal Dynamics game.
Okay.
I really liked that one.
It wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad. I don't want to talk about the movie, the trailer that came out. Mm. I like that her iconic weapon now isn't the Deagles.
No, it's the
It's a climber's axe.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
which is like, I don't know why I like it. I like axes, mm. I guess, but I don't know. I prefer that over the Deagles because, I mean, well, Lara Croft has had two iconic looks now. It's had the short shorts and the Desert Eagles and the giant boobs.
Yeah,
and the like overconfidence times a million.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's a pickaxe and a bow. And what did you call the first game, Shane? You had a nickname for it.
You're talking about the new?
Talking about the Crystal Dynamics Tomb Raider.
Oh, the Crystal Dynamics Tomb Raider, also known as Lara Croft Reassurance Simulator.
Yeah, the reinsurance, yeah.
Like, yeah. I'm actually really happy that in the trailer she didn't do that.
Because, well, we don't know about
well,
that.
Well, I mean, it doesn't seem like it, because, so, okay, my girlfriend is probably one of the biggest Tomb Raider fans I know.
She has every game. Right, and I know she will occasionally dress like Lara Croft.
Yeah, and so I showed her the trailer, because I know if anyone's going to be really picky about it, it's her.
Uh-huh.
Sure. And, you know, she loves Angelina Jolie. As a separate aside. So she loved it when she played Tomb Raider. And I have to admit, the first Tomb Raider movies weren't necessarily terrible. Like, they were good for what they were. You know, it was a shot at making a movie about a video game. And it was
decent.
It was very much passable, in my opinion. Like, they didn't butcher anything. So, this one, I know that Ashley's only real qualm is, like, she loved that Lara Croft was basically a superhero.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the way we looked at the Crystal Dynamics Tomb Raider is that it's her origin story. Right. So she's not the badass yet. But what we liked about the trailer was that it's a combination of the both. Is how her personality is kind of portrayed.
Because
mm-hmm. she's not a naive, like, unsure person. She's a very confident, very unique personality. But this seems to be still her origin, as in this is her beginning to become, like, the Lara Croft later on. Because you get those elements of, like, she's in a new environment and she's trying to figure out the clues, but at the same time, she doesn't do things with hesitation.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's like, it's cool. It's cool to see that they're kind of taking the new game's aesthetic and they're blending it with the overall personality and ultimately probably where they're going to end up with the movies.
Right.
Like, with how they're portraying the character, which is really cool. It's funny, though, because, you know, when they said they were going to make a Tomb Raider movie, at first, the first, like, pictures of it and stuff, and the teaser, it was pretty much like, oh, is it literally just the video game but live action?
Right.
Because that would be a letdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean,
it still kind of feels like that.
Yeah, it does. I mean, the island, the broken plane that she was on.
Mm-hmm.
It has, like, I like that it has those elements.
Yeah.
The forbidden part in the sea that they're going to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like I said, the big difference is it's the way the character seems to be handling it. Like, she isn't necessarily 100% in control of the situation, but she's right. not completely thrown off her game. And the one thing I just couldn't stand about the first Tomb Raider game by Crystal Dynamics, even though everything else was excellent, was if you left her idle, she just sits there and keeps going, "You can do this, Laura. You can do this, Laura. It's going to be okay. You can do this, Laura." And I'm just like, come on. At least for the first part of the game, sure, you can be like that. But right. after you've killed your 100th guy, come on.
Yeah.
You got it. Like, you got to harden yourself.
Yeah, I kind of wish the game explored her killing someone a bit better. Because you killed someone. I think it was like a quick time event. And then, you know, there's a cutscene and she freaks out. I think she vomits off screen because they didn't want to do the liquid effect.
Uh-huh. Should have blamed them.
Yeah. And, oh, well, I mean, they're up close, so, you know, a liquid effect like that would have looked horrible.
Oh, yeah.
But it would have been nice if, like, because after that, you go right into taking cover and picking people off and knowing I had shot and all this other shit. It would have been nice if you were kind of hampered by her inexperience for at least another couple of rounds of shooting. Or something like that. Or they had a story moment where you saw her that she finally had to, like, you know, toughen up and, like, just take some guy out and not feel bad about it.
Yeah.
Because you immediately went to, oh my god, I just killed a guy. And then, like, the next scene is boom, 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 boom. It's like, and she doesn't have any other development beyond that. I'm kind of wondering if this movie will have if she will have, like, a whole thing where she kills someone and freaks out about it. Or if she's just going to immediately go, like, let's kick ass.
I'm hoping that, if anything, there's going to be a flashback. Maybe with her and her dad hunting or something.
Maybe.
That, at least that way she has, like, you know, like she's hunting a deer or something with the bow. And at least he gives her advice to help steal her mind.
Yeah, that would be it. It's funny, the guy who's playing her dad is Dominic West.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I see him pop up in a movie, I'm going, okay, bad guy? Is he a bad guy? He's probably a bad guy. Because he's always a fucking bad guy.
Yeah, well, really, you know what?
He was also, he was actually, he was one of the main characters of The Wire. Which is really funny because he had a, like, really convincing New York accent.
Yeah.
But he's actually English.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. He was also the asshole senator in 300.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
He pops up everywhere. He's got a quite extensive list.
Yeah, but he's British, so every time I see him,
is he the bad guy?
He's the bad guy, or he's some asshole. Oh, he was in Finding Dory. Huh.
Who did he do the voice of?
I'm looking that up. But it could have been the British version, because I know Jeremy Clarkson did the voice of Sarge in the British Cars.
Did he really?
Yeah, I think that's what he did. He did a character in that. It's only on the British side of it.
Alright.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, he was in John Carter. Oh, right, he played the evil side king or queen or the fuck he was, I don't know. Finding Dory. Rudder?
I haven't seen Finding Dory, so.
Oh, Finding Dory Marine Life Interviews.
Oh.
He was a Rudder in Finding Dory. I was also, I don't remember that character.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember Rudder. It's not like,
was that one of the seals?
Maybe? Because
I know the other seal was Idris Elba.
Right.
I have to look that up later. It's going to bug the shit out of me.
For sure.
Yeah, but he always, so, like, in Tomb Raider, he's not going to be the bad guy, he's going to be her father, and he's more than likely dead. Which I think the premise is.
I mean, he's, like, that's the whole thing, and that's one of the huge hallmarks of the Tomb Raider, like, lore, is that he's either, he's never really dead. He's just always missing.
Yeah.
Like, something happened to him. He's gone. And you don't know why. And that's kind of, like, the big overarching thing. Granted, you know, it could, like, if he was actually just dead, that'd be fine. I mean, like, I don't know. I feel like he's kind of the tool for mysticism to enter in that story.
Yeah. What I think is going to happen to harden her up so she doesn't have a problem with killing people is the villain. I think that's the guy who's playing the villain in this one, Walt Goggins. He's the guy that you meet at the beach. He's been a ton of shit. He was in The Shield, and he's a recurring character in Sons of Anarchy. He's in this new show on HBO called Vice Principals. You see him everywhere. I think he's going to say something to her about her father that's going to piss her off, and she's just going to want revenge. That's what I think will be the motivation. That's probably it. I mean, it looks good. Mm-hmm. I have hope that it could break the video game curse.
I mean, that's the dream, right?
I hoped about that for Warcraft, but we got what we got.
I mean, they are fighting in a kind of uphill battle in the sense that people are going to compare it to the games, and especially the most recent pairing of them.
Yeah.
So people will be really looking at that and seeing, like, is it just too directly like the game, or what they'll go out of their way to find pitfalls as people typically have.
I mean,
have done.
As long as they, like, so far, it seems that they're going to stick to a lot of really quick action sequences, which is kind of like the most important part of those games, right? It's these weird, impossible moments that, like, how you get through them or how, like, Laura survives them is what kind of drives the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like when she was sliding down that hallway and those things were, like, the traps were going off and they didn't hit her.
Yeah.
That it's moments like that that are probably going to sell the movie really well. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of how far you push the impossible envelope that will eventually tell you if it's too cheesy or not.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, I'll tell you right now, if a fucking T-Rex pops out of there, I know that's iconic to Tomb Raider, I'll be pissed. I'm going to be like, what the fuck is this? Come on.
It's iconic to a Tomb Raider, but I'm with you. It will feel the most out of place.
Yeah. What I find funny is that Daniel Wu's in this one. He's their friend that was on the boat.
Yeah.
He's also in I don't know if you guys ever watched it, but Into the Badlands, it's a great series. It's very imaginative.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's got probably some of the best fight scenes I've seen on TV. They're high wire stuff, but they're still awesome to just watch. And it's a great world and premise, so give it a shot if you can.
Yeah.
But what I find funny is that he's in this movie. And he also played Dulgal, or the evil orc shaman in Warcraft.
Oh, Gul'dan?
Gul'dan.
Did he really?
Yeah. Oh,
that's kind of badass.
He mo-capped Gul'dan and kind of voiced him, but like through reverbs and shit like that. But yeah, he did Gul'dan, and he's now doing whatever character he's doing in this Tomb Raider thing. So I'm like, alright, are you going to be two for two?
Mm-hmm.
Or is this going to be a win? I'm hoping for a win, dude.
I definitely, of video games that you could choose to do movies on, Tomb Raider is probably the easiest for a viewing audience to get behind. Like if you get past the fact that it's a video game, it's just an action movie of a girl going on a treasure hunt, in a sense.
It's an action movie. It's just instead of a male lead with a fedora and a whip, it's a female lead in a tank top and a bow and arrow. And an axe.
Yeah, so it has a likelihood to do better than other video game movies. I just hope that The story is concise, and it just doesn't feel like garbage.
Yeah, I want the story to be concise. I want the acting to be good. I want these people to take it seriously, and I think they will. It's just a question of, is it executed well enough? You know, that's what it all hinders down to, because with, like, Warcraft, I felt like a few people in there were trying their best to execute it well enough, but just too many things were out of place.
Yeah,
and I blame most of that on the actual human actors, and the fact that all the armor looked like it was Fisher Price.
that's the problem. Trying to just take a likeness of one thing and make it into real life. And in a number of cases, when it's stylized, it just doesn't equate well. It looks goofy.
Yeah,
look
goofy as shit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this movie can do well because, yeah, if you remove the whole thing that is based off a video game, Shane's right, it'll just be this interesting action-adventure movie, and it should be.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be anything else.
To move on to something else,
because
we're also talking about, like, consistency in stories and, like, you know, things need to make sense, right?
Yeah.
All right. So we've talked about Hideo Kojima and how most things he does create doesn't make sense.
I would disagree, but yes, go on.
Okay, explain to me Metal Gear in 2 sentences.
Dude, you just said it.
Metal Gear is awesome.
Puppet government.
Yeah. Okay. That actually was pretty good. I like that. All right.
Thank you.
So anyways, so basically I found out Zone of the Enders is getting a remaster on PS4.
Oh, I'm so excited.
And
never played it.
It's a good game. Ultimately, like, it's one of the few Hideo Kojima games that it's easy to follow. Let's put it that way. Like, Metal Gear is kind of ridiculous. You know, and a lot of his other projects, like Ferguson's Death Stranding, everyone's kind of like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's a head-scratcher.
Yeah, Zone of the Enders is a very simple mecha-type game. You know, it's got a pretty easy world to follow. But the reason I'm excited is because I thought this game was originally just going to move to the PlayStation Store, right?
Right.
But no, they're going for, like, the full, like, immersive audio, 4K graphics. And the interesting thing that they're doing with this, and the reason why I wanted to talk about it, is because they're remastering the game, but they're also going ahead, and Konami is giving it VR support.
Which is crazy to think about, but really exciting too.
It's exciting because the thing is, it's not that hard to do with an older game,
right?
It has less moving parts. Like, I looked at the VR segment of the trailer, which you could check out the trailer. I'll make sure to put a link into it in the podcast description, because it's so cool because you're in the cockpit and you're like, you get to see the inside of the cockpit, and obviously they just really put a camera inside of there for the VR support.
Yeah.
And I guess your controls are in there, you know, and you get a little display that shows you how your robot's facing, and then you see the other fucking robot in your face.
It's so sick.
It, by the way, I hate VR. People should know I have never once liked the idea of VR.
Yeah, same. I don't care for it.
It's one part, like, I don't like, I'm a bit of a claustrophobe, but I don't like things around my head.
Right.
The other part is I also think it's kind of been tacky. Up until now, that is, because this is the first time I'm seeing a VR that is taking advantage of something about the video game.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, granted, Ashley was like, you know, you have to have the VR headset to play the game in VR. I'm like, yeah, okay, but, like, I'd be willing to try a demo. And I'm probably going to end up buying Zone of the Enders again, because holy shit, why not? But the thing that I want to talk about is, like, this is cool because now we're exploring an idea that might actually make VR more than just a gimmick at this point. Which is, can we take older games and then change the experience using VR if it's possible?
I don't think that's how you make VR not a gimmick. I still have a problem with VR being a gimmick. And, like, they've tried the mech VR games before. So, yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's cool. Everyone's excited for it. It's just, yeah.
If it's done well, like, that'll be the thing. Like, it has to be just done well for you know, it's a kind of step up as a forefront of what people should look to when designing VR.
And the problem with VR is no one's really stepped up to do that.
Right.
We've got like Office Simulator and Cook's Job Simulator and Rick and Morty thing. That's about it.
The Rick and Morty thing was kind of cool because it was like a giant gag of Rick and Morty stuff.
Yeah.
But ultimately, like, where I think VR fails ultimately is because it doesn't create a sense of world.
Yeah.
Like it's supposed to. Like, instead, what it does is it creates fixed points inside of a world and you kind of hop around and do stuff, or you do little mini games, and those are kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
There's not many VR games that really take full advantage of, like, moving around or something. And I know what you're talking about. There have been mech games before that are supposed to be VR-like.
Yeah.
But they kind of fell flat because they couldn't take advantage of a sense of scale or, like, surroundings.
Yeah.
That's why I'm excited about Zone of the Enders, though, is because Zone of the Enders is an action mech game. A lot of it's flying-based combat.
Yep.
And the thing is, though, the way it's a very, like, the mechs get right up on each other. It's a lot of, like, swords and guns and, like, flying around and trying to outmaneuver people. And what I saw in the trailer, though, that made it cool was it's, like, it did two things I thought was really smart. One, it gave me the cockpit, but obviously I still was probably controlling that thing with a controller.
Oh, yeah.
But inside the cockpit, it had a orientation display for the fucking mech. And that was important because it's like, okay, now I can get bearings.
Yeah.
And I feel like in that type of scenario, you get better control for it, because in a lot of these other mech games, you get like a mini map at best. Or and I feel like that doesn't do enough, because you need to have orientation for VR to feel effective. Granted, this could, honestly, the VR could just not be that great in the game. Because it is kind of a gimmick in itself of just being an add-on version. But the fact that they're experimenting with an older game and taking the risk of trying to implement it, I think is interesting, because it'd be cool to see other games attempt to try and blend VR in, because you know how simple they were. Because that's the problem with VR, is VR... The only real gimmick, the real hook of VR is like, oh, you do this thing and then you interact with this object. If you do a cool sequence, something cool happens, right? But that's a puzzle. That's basically, right now, here we go. This is why my problem with VR. VR basically feels, most of them feel like point and click adventures. And I don't like that. Yeah, that's just boring. Like, if I'm going to play a point and click adventure, I want to be at a computer.
They're one of two things, Shane. They're either point and click adventures, or there's some simulator where you get to fire guns.
Yeah.
Like, well, the other thing is, like, how we design games, how we make a game, how we think about games is we think controller in hand or mouse and keyboard. And VR is totally different. It's not meant for that. So there has to be a whole different way to think about how to make a game for VR. And I don't think it can be cockpit simulator type of games, like whether it be flying games or mech games. There's a barrier, and the barrier is... What has solidified game design right now, and that's the problem. And we're just going to keep getting gimmicks until someone breaks through that barrier and goes, stop designing VR games the way we've been designing games for the past 20, 30, 40 years.
That's true.
It doesn't work. You know, I mean, I heard people that would love to walk around Middle Earth, but that won't work.
Or you could just buy a plane ticket to New Zealand.
I mean, or Azeroth, or wherever, or whatever the fuck place, whatever the fuck Skyrim takes place in.
Skyrim is the place.
Yeah. Whatever, you know what the fuck I'm talking about. A game I've never fucking played. Speaking of a game I've never fucking played, the only thing I know about Metal Gear, I learned from Metal Gear Awesome from Egoraptor.
Mm.
That's all I know about Metal Gear Solid.
Honestly, it's pretty accurate.
It's that fucking animation, which I might watch when we log off. But yeah, so I for me, like, VR it might be a destination thing for a while. You might go to VR instead of having a home VR.
I think VR right now, required of players to have VR is a wide open space, and most people do not have that type of space required. And I'm with you, Nick, where I think VR will have like VR bars or
arcades or whatever.
Well, there is a game like that. There was a Jacksepticeye, I think, played it. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the name of it, but it was a VR multiplayer game where it's just a bunch of you and people in a room, and you just move around to talk to people, right? But the thing is, at the time, Jack didn't realize that that was a multiplayer game.
Uh-huh.
And when he started talking, other people around him were like, holy shit, is that Jacksepticeye? But there's no, like, player identifications, right?
Yeah.
And I think that is a cool concept or a good use of VR, is to be bridge virtual meetings, I guess, or, like, meeting places.
I mean, yeah, there's going to be a lot of different other applications for VR. I mean, like, imagine the was it the McGregor and Mayweather fight? Imagine if you can buy a pay-per-view ticket, and it's a VR ticket, and you get to pick the camera that's the referee.
Oh, so my God, that'd be the best.
You're in the ring with those two watching them fight.
So okay, if WWE did that, I'd buy a fucking VR set for my PlayStation 4.
Yeah, that is probably another aspect of VR. There's a lot of other things about VR. Right now, everything we're seeing is experiments. That one game you were just describing that Jacksepticeye did, that's an experiment.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all we got. So until we get past the testing phase, which might last for a couple more years, if not longer, you know, that's what we got. And I won't buy one.
I mean, there's no reason to right now. It does excite me to see, you know, stuff like, you know, companies like Konami, and I think it's Psy Gaming or Psy Studios that's helping out with the with this, you know, take an old game and try to you know, do something different with it, and, you know, adding the VR aspect to it and kind of making it, you know, feel cooler, feel more unique. I think that's kind of that first step in a right direction. Will it succeed? We don't know yet. Like that, we won't know until people start using it and playing it. But I like seeing. I think Shane, you know, you do bring up a good point. Taking older games that VR could be implicated or could be used in it, and seeing how well it does. I think that's kind of that start of integrating it, and making VR more than just tests and something that is the entertainment that we want.
Yeah. I think, what was I going to say? If you guys want an good cockpit game that's good for VR, it's Elite Dangerous.
Mm.
If you really want a complete immersion with Elite Dangerous, it's you get a HOTAS, a throttle and joystick.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the VR set, and you're in a cockpit, and you're in space, and you're flying around dogfighting. That's what I heard. It's a great game. Again, I'll probably never get it, though.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
I think I played it at PAX 1 year. But, yeah.
Alright.
The VR, I predict the VR of this game won't do fantastic, but the game itself will do fantastic, because there's a lot of fans like you two.
Right. I know maybe like three people that have the VR headset for the PlayStation. Mm. So those would be people I would talk to and see, you know, what their kind of experience is with it if they end up getting it and trying it out.
Yeah,
because I am curious to see like what it added or what it took away from their game experience.
Yeah. I might be a crotchety old man stuck in his way, but give me a controller.
I mean, I'm with you on this one. There's one thing I have with you on, Nick, which is we're at the point right now where VR is in a rut.
Oh, yeah.
And you're right. I think it needs to change. And I do think this is a good step. But one other thing about the whole subject as it is, I think this is good that at least for the first time, like, I've been a huge cynic of VR. Ever since, like, they first started experimenting with it, I've always been like, ah, fuck it, right?
Yeah.
This is the first time I've ever been like, okay, I'm willing to give it a try. And I think that's a good step in general, because I bet there's hundreds of other people like you and me who are like, ah, fuck it. But maybe now and then they're going to come up with an idea that's going to be like, ooh, that's cool. And that might be what propels it.
If anything, for me, what might propel is something that's very, very interesting, but not game-related.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we'll see. I mean, that's all we can do is we'll see. And, you know, VR came out, like, a couple years ago, and we're still stuck in this. So what do we do now?
That's kind of any new technology, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing, in my opinion, that's happened with the Vive.
Oh.
Yeah, the Steam VR thing, so...
I mean, other than, you know, there are a bunch of games that are always being created. It's just like,
yeah.
there's no hits.
Yeah, there's no hits. I mean, like the Skyrim VR that happened apparently bombed. It's apparently really shitty. And I don't think the Doom game is doing all that well either.
I mean, the biggest problem with those is that they're such new games that people don't want to play, like, buy it again with a new gimmick. Like, the cool thing about Zone of the Enders, it was a PS2 game. You know, it's old. And for it to kind of, for them to, A, you know, remaster it, and B, add VR, it's new enough. It's new enough that you can potentially attract a newer audience to your game. Whereas, like, Skyrim and Doom, those games aren't too old, you know. Skyrim being older than Doom, but like that game has seen more like releases of itself, like than Doom. So
my friend called it the cockroach of video games.
I mean, it fucking is. It's on everything now. It literally is on every console. You know, the only thing that's missing is fucking handhelds and cell phones. You know, stone's throw away from that shit.
It's on every console. It's on every platform you can play it, for the exception of mobile and handheld.
Yeah.
And I have never touched it in my entire life. In the 6 years since that game came out, I have never once touched it.
Good, you're doing all right then.
I've contemplated it because it's been on sale for a ridiculous price.
Oh, but yeah.
I've never gotten it. I wouldn't buy it
unless it was on sale at this point. I mean...
Oh, yeah. I want to pay for a full price.
I mean, I'm the guy who fucking... got the collector's edition,
right?
And like, it was cool at the time, and I liked Skyrim when it first came out, and I think it's cool that like, if you had Skyrim at any point, you got the newest remastered whatever they did. But at the same time, I'm actually of the camp of like, Skyrim was cool, what's the next Elder Scrolls game that isn't Skyrim? Like,
everyone's asking that.
Like, you guys said something about Blackmarsh, that sounded cool.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, everyone's also like, hey, where's the remaster of Morrowind? And that's another one.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, Skyrim, cool concept, fun game, does not need this many releases.
Yeah, it doesn't. If anything, I think we're going to get another Skyrim. We're going to get Elder Scrolls, would it be 6?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to get that before we get a remaster of Morrowind. That's my thinking, anyway.
No, you're probably right.
We're not going to see that for a long, long time. And everyone's going to bitch whenever Elder Scrolls 6 is announced. People are going to bitch going, why not Morrowind? Because they're always doing that.
Unless it's Elder Scrolls 6, the return to Morrowind.
Yeah, it could be that. And then people will bitch that it's not the same.
That's just people in general.
I know, right?
So, yeah, like, that's just...
There's no appeasing the masses.
You want to appease the masses. I have another subject I want to get to.
Sure.
So we kind of talked about this last week because, again, technical problems. But, so, Star Wars Episode 9 lost Colin Trevor as director. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. And then they played it safe and went back to J.J. Abrams to be director of Episode 9.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm thinking they could be a little bit more imaginative. Maybe Rian Johnson could have done it. Who knows? But whatever. JJ has it. I'm fine with it, so long as he doesn't do his solar flare technique too much. He did it in the 7?
I mean, well, so that isn't JJ... That wasn't a JJ thing. That was the kind of production team behind it.
Mm.
So, like, as much as, like, people dog JJ Abrams for being the man who does lens flare... Not so much a stylistic choice of his, as opposed to like the kind of the production that was put into it, where it was supposed to feel more futuristic.
This constant is Lens Flare is constant in the both Star Treks that he did.
Right, but it was toned down in the second one.
I need to see the second one. I don't remember. But you're probably right.
It's like night and day on how much Lens Flare exists between the two. I'm glad they went with. Yes, they could have gone with someone outside the norm, but I think it's a better choice to go with Abrams. Mm-hmm. He has experience in the subject matter. He already set the tone for the first movie in this trilogy. He'll finish it with that same tone, which is nice because it bookends it where, you know, the beginning tone and the ending tone feel the same while the middle is different than the other two. And is, you know, if they do a good job, the middle movie will feel like an Empire Strikes Back. So it will be a more somber tone, and then Abrams comes in with the more uplifting tone, because that's kind of how this trilogy starts, is kind of uplifting-ish, new experience, nods to A New Hope. I think it's a safe choice, but I think it's a smart safe choice.
Yeah, it is what it is, but like, there's also the fact that once Disney is done with episodes 7, 8, and 9, they want to start just doing other Star Wars movies in the Star Wars universe and expanding upon stories. So we may or may not see Rey, Finn, and Poe in episode 10. We'll see them in another Star Wars film, but we won't be calling it episode 10.
I'm fine with that.
They'll make like a Star Wars cinematic universe.
That's really smart of them, to be honest.
And it allows Disney to really explore and make the extended universe in its own way. So then they can start grabbing this weird thing and this weird thing and experimenting and doing more movies like the Han Solo film, the Boba Fett film, and then they can keep going. That's what I think they'll try to do, because they're not going to stop at episode 9. You know, they're not going to stop at episode 9, and they're not going to stop at Han Solo, and they're not going to stop at Boba Fett. They're going to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's the interesting thing. But here's what I was getting at, disgruntled masses. So last week it was announced that J.J. Abrams is going to be the new director, or the director for episode 9.
Mm-hmm.
This week I hear about a petition going around the net to get him removed.
Why?
I don't, because people are assholes. I don't fucking, oh man, it's just.
He's not a bad dude.
No, he's not. Oh my god. I have to send you guys a comedy bit. It's hilarious. Anyway, keep going.
I mean, okay, in terms of directors, right?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
J.J. Abrams isn't, like, a bad director, from what I can tell. And, I mean, I haven't seen too many of his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are like, oh, well, he's really just the reboot guy. I'm like, that's not fair.
What reboots has he done?
Well, I mean, they talk about the Star Wars and the Star Trek. And people treat those like reboots, and I'm like, that's not fair, because like, he's not even rehashing anything. He's just working with already made stuff, which is what we ask most directors to do.
Right. Well, it's this weird thing where people bitch about want everything being the same, and then are being different, and then they want the same, but then they bitch that it's the same.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's people in a nutshell.
Yeah, there's no appeasing people. I've come to recognize that as just like, just sad, shitty fact that it's like, well, people are just gonna be whiny assholes the whole time. I think in those cases, you just do what you want. You do something that you'll be happy with, and kind of if you make other people happy, you've succeeded. And if they're a bunch of whiny little bitches, fuck them. You know, what have they done? What did they do to contribute to this? Nothing? Great. Excellent. Their opinion is null and void.
I don't want to take this on a sour note. Mm-hmm. But you know what people should be pissed off about?
What?
All right, so they're making a Jeepers Creepers 3.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Which, the movies were kind of cool. But the thing is, the guy who's directing it... is a fucking convicted registered sex offender, and they're still letting him make the movie.
Who is it?
Let me look it up. Because Ashley was talking to me about it, and I was like, you're shitting me. And she goes, nope, he's been convicted. And I'm like, are standards that low? Like, and of course, it's like, people, like, you tell me people are petitioning A.J. Abrams. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I guess my, like, not to defend the dude, because I don't condone his actions. When was he convicted? Is it more recent? Because it's more recent, da fuck. If it's, like, 20-plus years, like...
I mean,
has he done anything different? Has he changed? Has he gone out and, like, you know, been arrested of doing it again? Again, I'm not condoning it, but does, like, him being a director damn him, or like him being a sex offender damn him instantly and not allow him to do a job, like?
Any well, other profession, so, it would.
I know. Well,
here's the thing. He's a child molester.
Great.
It was 1988.
Okay.
12.
What's his name?
It's Victor Salva.
Oh, I don't know. I thought it was a different
He made the movie Powder.
That's an awful movie.
Yeah. So, I mean, here's my thing with it. I understand that, like, in certain scenarios, if someone has a criminal record, Will, you kind of want to give them a little bit of leeway depending on how long and if they've come back.
I mean you give them leeway and you watch them the whole fucking time like a hawk.
But this is, I'm sorry, child molestation is the one thing where I'm like, no, fuck the guy. He's out.
Yeah.
You had your one chance, you do not pass go. Get to jail. That said, though, here's the thing, ready? I have yet to see a real petition about that guy. Mm-hmm, and yet, I hear a fucking petition about J.J. Abrams. I'm like, once again, where are your standards? People just, well, what the fuck?
People aren't paying attention. Okay, the difference is Star Wars is going to make billions of dollars.
That's true.
Okay, whereas Jeepers Creepers 3 will go. When would that come out? It's already on DVD. That's Jeepers Creepers 3. All right, I thought I saw like a thumbnail of it like on YouTube. Jeepers Creepers trailer. I'm like, oh, what is that, like the fifth one? Because it's a horror movie. Of course there's going to be like 100 of them. Yeah, how many Chucky movies do we have, or Jason movies, or Freddy Krueger movies? You know, it's absurd.
I've stopped counting.
Yeah, so it's like, all right, you know, it's a shit movie. I rank it up there with anything Uwe Boll has done. It's just crap. So it's like, yeah, fuck that guy, but also fuck that movie. It's not a movie I want to see. I don't like the first one. I don't like the second one. Oh, it's a guy that has a trench coat. Oh, they're wings?
I mean, I like the first two, but...
The first one pisses me off, because all they had to do was just keep driving. Oh, I'm going to look in the pipe that the guy threw a body down. You're an idiot. You deserve to die.
I mean, that is... That's stupid most horror movies, though. It's the lack of common sense equals dead people.
Stupid ass Justin Long, old fucktard. I'm gonna look at the pipe. The body was thrown down. Dumbass, die.
Anyways, sorry, I wanted. That occurred to me, but.
Yeah. So, anyway, J.J. Abrams has directed 2 episodes of Felicity, 2 episodes of Lost. He directed 5 episodes of Alias, which I think he was like the showrunner for. He directed Mission Impossible 3. Jimmy Kimmel Live, I guess he was one episode. He was one director of that. He directed an episode of The Office, Anatomy of Hope, which I've never fucking heard of. He directed Star Trek, Super 8, which is, I think, really good. Star Trek Into Darkness, and then Star Wars Force Awakens, and now he'll be directing Episode 9. That's his directing credits. He's got a ton of producing credits.
Damn.
Yeah, a ton of writing credits and producing credits. I think he was like a writer on Cloverfield?
I would not be surprised about that.
I know he's friends with a guy. Oh, he wrote the screenplay to Armageddon. Dear God.
Damn.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just like, he didn't fuck up. I don't know, like, what are you complaining at? And if you didn't like episode 7, you're probably not gonna like episode 9, and you're probably not gonna like episode 8, and you're probably not gonna like episode 9 because you're not 7.
I mean, you know, those are all distinct possibilities.
And you know, that's half the problem with people going into these movies, is they want to recapture their childhood, and it's not gonna happen.
Well, that never happens.
It'll never happen. Me and Will did it right. We never watched anything about Star Wars Episode 7 or Rogue One. And we went in there blind, and I think we both had a good time.
Yeah, I enjoyed myself.
Yeah, I enjoyed myself too. And Rogue One I thought was fantastic.
Yep.
I could have done without some of the CGI bullshit, but I thought it was great.
Yeah, that was, you know, my one complaint is the Uncanny Valley moments. But, you know, I think it was still really good.
Yeah, I think it was fantastic too. So, and both of them, you know, we got 2 Star Wars films in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get a third one. And I believe it'll be good too. So it's like, I'm fine with it. I do want a second trailer though. You know, we're almost at October and we haven't gotten a second trailer.
Yeah, we could use a bit more of a meatier one. Just a bit. Not too much.
I keep avoiding anything that has a Star Wars headline because I don't want to see photos. I don't want to know who spoiled what.
It's like this. Also, it's like the same trailer every time.
You're
haven't seen this one. Got it.
Yeah, it's like, half the time I see something or something runs across. I'm like, la 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 la, skipping, skipping, skipping.
It's a good way of doing it.
Yeah. I mean, well, the reason I did that, because I think I told you guys, like, I knew too much going into Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one, so it didn't excite me like it should have, and I knew too much going into Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
You know, so it was like, I should just stay away from all this shit. You know, just watch 1 or 2 trailers and stay away. And it works, and you have a better experience. So, yeah, it's ridiculous. It really is. People want to bitch about anything. I mean, hell, they're going after the dude that had, I think, I don't know, you said this before the podcast or during the podcast, Shane? The guy who's heading Overwatch is going after the toxicity?
Oh, yeah. Well, so, okay, real quick, if anyone who plays Overwatch, right? Like, mm-hmm. It's Jeff Kaplan,
right,
is his name. And the thing is, he released a video talking about the consequences of toxic behavior, what they're doing, right? And actually, mm-hmm. One of the things he said was, we have a report button that you can hit, and we actually are going to address the people you're reporting and the scenarios, right? The thing is, Jeff Kaplan is the butt of every Overwatch joke.
Uh-huh.
And he is also like the number one target of probably half the community's toxicity, and I think it's not even really his fault. He's just he's one of the lead developers,
uh-huh.
And also he's the only one that shows up on video to talk. Like, he is the face,
mm-hmm. Right?
So he just takes all the punches, and you know, like, I think people, there's two sides to it. I think people legitimately think he's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And those people are stupid because they don't recognize that there's a whole development team.
Yeah.
And he doesn't just make all the decisions.
On the flip side, are working on the game.
There's also a group of people who hate him, not actually, but they vent their frustrations out on him because he is the face, right? And it's possible that he's taken that responsibility. To draw a parallel, if you've ever heard of wrestling, you know about Vince McMahon, who is the chairman, the CEO, like, he is the bad guy. He's always been the bad guy. In reality, he's not the fucking bad guy. He literally loves the company so much that he turned himself... It's actually in a documentary. He turned himself into the bad guy. So that way it created the wrestlers versus him.
Right.
As a narrative. And I think that's kind of also what's happening with Jeff Kaplan, is I think he recognizes at this point, not everyone likes me. I am the butt of a lot of people's jokes. A lot of people complain about me. But he is doing his best to ensure a quality game. And I can't fault him for that.
No, you can't.
Though, yeah, man, oh man, some of the shit they do post about him is funny.
Yeah, I would think it can't be creative. People can be creative even in when they're hating. Yeah, it's stupid the way people react to that kind of shit. We're gonna wrap up soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's one thing I wanted to mention. So people reacting to stupid shit like that, and J.J. Abrams, like, there's better things to get angry at.
Yeah.
And this is a story that's not game related anyway, or movie related, but it's people getting mad and actions happening that is right. So some Google employees, I think they're ex-employees, like they left, they wanted to create, they wanted to make bodegas and mom and pop stores obsolete. They wanted to have like this big box on corners of cities that you would just swipe your card and then it would open and you would take whatever you wanted and charge you. And it would get rid of bodegas and corner stores and 7-Eleven and things like that. And people were pissed.
I mean, yeah, I would be too.
Yeah, they were mad because it literally means, like, you go to the bodega or you go to the mom and pop store and you have a personal connection with that person. That person's making money in their own business. And here are two upstarts who want to make that obsolete because they think it's an inconvenience. And it's not. It's never been an inconvenience. Corner stores are not an inconvenience. They're called convenience stores for a reason.
Yep.
And, it's an interesting story. If you guys don't know anything about it, I suggest you try and look it up because they are backpedaling like crazy because they did not expect it. Which means they're sheltered as fuck. But yeah, I just wanted to mention that because it was interesting. It was also kind of like, I don't want to say the gall of some people, but it was the ignorance of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't know, I never thought of a corner store as why is this here? It's mostly been, thank God this is here.
Mm-hmm. I think just opinion. Like,
well, yeah,
you have, it's, yeah, unfortunately, they are guys with an opinion of convenience stores, not realizing that they are in the very small minority.
Right.
But it's the other thing of, like, imagine there's this box that you would go up to, you swipe your credit card or whatever, and it open, and you take whatever thing, soda, drink, snack, whatever you wanted, and then you left, and it charged you that much, and you didn't have any interaction with anyone. But the difference is, you go to a bodega store or a corner store, you have an interaction with someone, you probably know them, and it's not going to a corporate. You know?
Here's the other thing, though, really quick. Yeah. I can pick up Tylenol at my fucking, the little shop down the street from me, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I can pick up toilet paper, I can pick up eggs, I can pick up fucking milk and cereal. Right. And candy bars. You can't fit all that shit in a box. Especially when half of it has to be refrigerated.
Yeah.
It's just not realistic. That's why we have vending machines. That's the thing. They just wanted to make a glorified vending machine that could also possibly give you paper products. But who the fuck wants that?
Yeah, well, they wanted to create a glorified vending machine that I think you can walk into. They just wanted to get rid of the human factor. And they wanted to make it so they own all of them. Can you imagine, like, a couple people owning every bodega in a corner store?
That's fucking kind of weird.
It's weird, and it's super corporate, and no one likes that.
No. There's a reason why we keep it separated enough.
Yeah. It's also the reason why 7-Eleven, like, they loan out their name and their franchise to people, so someone owns several 7-Elevens, mm-hmm. but they're also paying the corporate office that.
Yeah.
So there's like a middleman thing, and that's also how a corporation like them doesn't become a monopoly.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. And at the same time, I want that human interaction. Yeah. If I know them or not, I want the human interaction because half the time I walk into a 7-Eleven or a corner store, I either get no reaction, which I'm fine with, or someone being friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. You know, it's kind of, it's life in big cities. especially bigger cities. In New York, from what I've heard of, that's, you know, that's a huge thing. So to think you can get rid of it is bullshit.
But, yeah.
Yeah. They're backpedaling. They I think they learned their lesson for the time being.
They better. Like, that's not something you fuck around with, really.
No, it's not. It's kind of like thinking you can get rid of, like, the neighborhood barber or, you know, shit like that. Everyone's like, you know, oh, this doesn't exist. This doesn't exist anymore. I think it's coming back slowly. Like, we are going to see actual bakeries open up. You know, we are going to see these things, these trades that were lost, come back, but just have a high tech edge to it.
I believe
you're not gonna get rid of a corner store. So.
No, you just can't.
With an app, you're not gonna get rid of it. So,
people like corner stores for many a reason.
Yeah, I mean that's. In disasters, I've heard, like, that's where people can go and find the news.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've almost replaced the tavern of old. Kinda,
yeah. It's different, but it has similar aspects.
Well, it's also the fact that they will have power.
Yeah,
because there will be a generator. If someone's smart like that, they'll have a generator. But yeah, so. I just want to mention that. Look it up. If you guys don't know anything about it, look it up. It's an interesting story, and it's also... It's going to one of those stories where you're just watching it going, oh, God damn it. Because of just ignorance.
Mm. Yeah.
So, I think that's... I have nothing else to talk about.
Yeah, I think it's a good place to stop.
Yeah, it's a good place to stop.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to us. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, subscribe on iTunes. If you're on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe. If you're checking us out on our website, you know, give us a comment. If it's on Facebook, you know, just give it a share.
Yeah. Yeah. Check us out on the website. We're putting stuff up there.
Yep. Yeah. We have our new thing me and Shane are doing called Scroll Rack. Yeah. Please check us out. Check it out, and you know. Tell us what we're doing wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Every Monday, Scroll Rack.
Yep.
Yeah. And I recently wrote an article in the latest episode of the Orville, so you can read that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, guess with that, we are out of here.
Yep.
Later.
Deuces, y'all.
Later days.